Begin with an idea. I want to talk about Parshas Vayetze is jam packed. It's a lot of heavy duty artillery. And first thing I want to talk about is the difference between the Beis Medrash. What is the chilik between the Beis Medrash of Shem and the Beis Medrash of Eder? So there's a lot of classic Torah. We probably even spoke about this. Is that someone will say is you know, there's an approach to learning Torah Lishma. We know that in America there's an approach to learning of Aaron Kohler. Pretty much took possession of this approach to learning called Torah Lishma, where you learn just for the sake of learning. There is a value of learning Torah, not that the Torah will, your learning will result in necessarily even knowing the halacha. I mean, that's the highest madrigal. Lasuki shmaitzli hilchos, but I don't mean it like that. I mean, let's say you learn hilchos negoyim. Negoyim v'oyhalos. There is no practical application today of negoyim v'oyhalos. Person who spends time learning mesechta negoyim, and it's very hard. It's extremely difficult, mesechta negoyim. Mesechta oyhalos. What practical halacha will you take out of it? Literally nothing. So why would you learn mesechta negoyim v'oyhalos? You learn Torah lishma. Hashem put you in this world for a purpose. There are many purposes you have, but one of the purposes is that if you have an opportunity, if you have the time and the money and the ability to learn Torah just for the sake of learning Torah, you're going to get nothing out of this other than the time spent learning the Torah. And then there's learning Torah where there is a benefit. Let's say there's a benefit knowing what to do. If you learn Mesechta Mikvois, okay, now you know how to build a mikvah. Now you know how to get involved when there's an issue, when you have to be toivel kelim, nashim, go to mikvah. There a mikvah, a halachic mikvah has to be constructed. You have to know what to do. If you want to learn mesechta chulin, excellent. Now that's a prerequisite to get a job in the OU, to get a job in kashrus. You have to know what all the issues are. There are mitzvahs. Mitzvahs, we have no choice, we must do the mitzvahs. We must do the mitzvahs. So in order to know how to do the mitzvahs, you need to know the basic halachas. Okay, then there is learning Torah just to give you a basic way of life. There are different forms of learning Torah, and this expands into many different dimensions. But everyone here is very, very familiar that today there is Rav Shamshon Folhirsch's approach, Haneig Bohem Minig Derech Eretz, is that there is Torah im Derech Eretz. There is an approach of learning Torah, and it's a very practical approach to learning Torah. And then there's a learning Torah which is more abstract. And this is a very, very different type of approach. There are many different flavors, varieties of the two different approaches to Torah, and many want to suggest, and many have suggested, we spoke about it in the past, is that's the difference between the base medrash of Shem and the base medrash of Eder. Shem was Torah Lishma. It was a base medrash where you learn about the secrets of the world, you learn all the mystical things. It is the approach of, it's not a practical approach to life. It's a spiritual approach to serving Hashem. Eder is hands-on, boot camp. Okay, we have to build a community. We need a mikvah. We need some people who know the laws of mikvahs. We need to have a kashrus industry. We need people who know the laws of kashrus. We need scribes. We need to learn from a Sefer Torah Shabbos. So we need people who know Safras. So you have to go learn all the halachas of Safras. And it goes on and on and on. It is an approach of learning Torah that is very practical. You learn Torah, you get tested, you get a degree, you're acknowledged as being an expert, knowledgeable, you have to go for recertification, you have to learn Torah on a very practical level to know how to live, what to do.
Maybe it's just one base medrash with two tracks.
No,
okay, so many want to say that this was the difference between base medrash of Shem the Aver. Shem Aver appears on the scene at a much later point in time. We know that Shem, that Yaakov Avinu, I forgot all of the references. It's not the point. I want to go down a different avenue. But there are different references to Shem as being the Beit Smedrash, where it's a very pure, pristine approach to spirituality. Aver has been suggested to be an approach that's very practical, a very different approach. And the proof to this is, the main proof to this is, at least partially, is Yaakov Avinu, now, after he receives the blessings from Yitzchak, where does he go? He's told by his father and his mother to go to Aram Naharayim, to the home of Mesuel, to Lavan, to go get married. And what does he do? He makes a detour. He stops off for 14 years to learn. Rashi is clear as day. In the end of Parshas told us, he went to the Beis Medrash of Aver. He did not go to the Beis Medrash of Shem. Why did he go to the Beis Medrash of Aver? So many have suggested there's a change in plan. Yaakov Avinu was under the impression when he grew up, he was now, at this point, 70 approximately, he was 84 years old when he got married, 65.
63 when he ran away, according to backtracking.
He was 63, so he was 63 years old. So he, for 63 years of his life, he was under the impression that he's going to be learning in Kol his whole life. So if you're going to be learning in Kol your whole life, where do you go? You go to the Beis Medrash of Shem. So now, you know, he knows everything there is to know. It's time to get married. So get married right now. What are you waiting for? Get married. Yasek b'Torah. V'rechai mitzavah. Get married. So what's the problem? You get married and then you go back to Beis Medrash. No, there's a change in plan. The change in plan is love of Rivka and Yaakov both say to Yaakov, you're not going to be learning in Kollel the rest of your life because your brother wants to kill you. And you can't learn in this environment. You can't learn here in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKadosh. You're going to have to go learn in America. And in America, you're going to have to make a living. You're going to have to make a living. Sorry, you're going to have to leave Kollel. It's going to be a different type of life. Yaakov says, I'm not prepared for that. I was not trained. I don't know how to make I don't know how to build a mikvah. I don't know what's kosher, what's not kosher. I learned in Beis Medrash here esoteric things. I learned about the Malachim. I learned about Ma'al Matzilus. I learned about the Goyim V'Oyalais. I don't know about Safros, about Mikvah, about all of these practical things. You know what? I have to make a detour and go to the Beis Medrash Shel Aver. And that is why he had to stop off for 14 years and learn in the Beis Medrash of Aver. And Rashi makes it clear as day, at the end of Parashas Toldos, Rashi tells the reason why we made the calculation of all the years of it tells us how old about the Yishmael. Yishmael went and he got married, and it tells us how old he was. Rashi, the last Rashi in Parshas, last week's Parsha. Why do we need to know all of this? To know how many years Yaakov learned in the Beis Medrash. I'm reading here from Rashi, and the Parsha told us, Holomadita. She'achar shekibil habrachos nitman, he hid himself where bebeis aver yud dalit shanim. It doesn't have any other girsa here. There's only one girsa in the Beis Medrash of Aver for 14 years. Why? So the darshanim say because until now he was only trained in the Beis Medrash of Shem, and now that he has to learn practical rabbinics, he has to go to YU. To learn how to be a good rabbi, he needs to go learn. He needs a different approach. That this is a very popular yisoid, an idea. Now I want to suggest to you something a little bit different. Now again, the reason why I'm suggesting this over here is because we could have said this last parashas told us. How is this relevant to the parashas Vayetze? Parashas Vayetze, what happens? Yaakov Avinu comes, he arrives. And he's on his traveling to Haran, to Lavan, and then he realizes, wait, I must stop off at Har HaMoriah and Davin. So he goes backwards, goes back to Har Moriah, Kfitza Saderech, he davens, he takes a stone, he positions it to protect his head, he goes to sleep, he wakes up. And the first thing he says when he wakes up after the dream is, Ochein, Ochein Yesh Hashem Bamokoim Hazeh, the Onochi Lo Yodoti. The first thing he says is, you know something? I don't know. It's a very strange thing to say today. Today, for someone to say, I don't know, you really begin to wonder. What do you mean you don't know? Everyone knows everything today. Everyone will tell you the truth. They'll tell you the real truth regarding everything you can possibly imagine that's going on in this world. For a person to say, the Anochi lo yodati, one in a million. To have the humility to say, I really don't know. I don't know. Chayiv adam lo. So who? For who? Where does it say that? Okay, for people. It's an extreme act of humility. Now, this is especially shocking, when it says that he slept. Vayolon shom balaylo hahu. And Rashi on this week's parasha, balaylo hahu, says he slept there, but for the last 14 years he did not sleep. Why did he not sleep? Because he was learning, Rashi says, he was learning in the Beis Medrash. Let's actually go to that Rashi. Read Rashi, Vayetze, Vayachaloim. He slept, Vayishkab, Mokam, who's in the second Pasuk, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayishkab, Mokam, who, Loshon Mi'ut, Be'oisoy Mokam, Shochav, Aval Yudalit Shonim, Sheshimesh bebeis Eiver. Again, clear as day, Rashi says, where was he for the last 14 years? Not in the Beis Medrash of Shem. He was in the Beis Medrash of Eiver. Okay? So he's learning for 14 years. And you would understand, today you go to Gedolei Yisrael. If you go to many, you know, you go to Gedolei Yisrael, you have a whole library of books of Gedolei Yisrael. And why do people go to Gedolei Yisrael? Why do you go to them for advice? Because they know. They do know. You have a question, what should I do? Should I have two opportunities? There are two opportunities, there are two employers that want me to work for them. Should I take this job or that job? I don't know what to do. So what do? You go to a gadol, a very great person. He knows. How does he know? The Chochmah of Torah gives him insight, gives him wisdom. What to do? He has a certain koyach. Through the Chochmah of Torah, a person is blessed with wisdom. Whether you'll tell me it's supernatural wisdom, whether you'll tell me that it's through Torah, there is insight into the world, into the human condition. This is Kachi Darkoi Shaloylam. We're not making up these things. Unfortunately, today, there's a dearth of people that we feel we're confident in, that we can go ask advice to know what to do. But throughout Jewish history, this is the way it works. The way it works is we yearn that we have those type of people today. Moshe Rabbeinu, they were lining off of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yashmeres Adbeik Ad Erev. Moshe Rabbeinu, Ki Yelchem Dovar, Boilai. People come to me, they have questions. This is the way it's supposed to be. I know you'll tell me today we don't have this. Rachman al-Islam, we're in a lot of trouble. But that's a Talmidei Chachamim, when they learn Torah, they're granted Siyata D'Shmaya, knowledge, whether it's L'malam Derech HaTeva, L'Derech HaTeva, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, they came to him non-stop to ask every question. That's what he did the whole day. They showed the beautiful videos of him, the letters, bag loads of letters, people asking him, what should I do? Yaakov Avinu spends 14 years learning Torah. He doesn't sleep for a second. Wouldn't you expect that he accumulated during those 14 years knowledge, insight into everything that there is about the world? That when he comes to Choron and he lies down and he goes to sleep, he should know that he's sleeping on Har HaMoriah. There's no geography in the Torah. The first thing he wakes up and he says, Ochein Yesh Hashem Amokoy Mazeh V'yonochi Lo Yodoti. The first thing he says, I don't know. I didn't even realize what's going on over there. You don't know that. You don't know that this is the place where your father was sacrificed, was the Akedah. You don't know that this is the place where Avraham Avinu arrived. You don't know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave. You don't know the ABCs. You don't know what's going on over here. You just spent 14 years learning Torah. Okay, now let me intensify the question. In the beginning of Parshas Toldos, Rivka was pregnant after being childless for many years, and something very strange happens when she passes the Beis Medrash. Her womb, the child inside, is struggling to escape. When she passes the church, the child is struggling to escape. What's going on here? Where did she go? Lidroish es Hashem. Rashi, where did she go? She went to shame. She went to the Beis Medrash of shame. She didn't go to the Beis Medrash of Eva. Why did she go? Rashi, Leda, to know Matehe Besoif. She wanted results. She wanted answers. She did not understand what is happening. So she, I want an answer. I want to know what is going on. So she went to where you get an answer. Where do you get an answer? So Rashi says, where did she go? She went to shame. Wait a minute, there are two Bati Midrashim. There's the center shame, and there's the center Aver. Why did she go to shame? Why didn't she go to Aver? Why, when Yaakov went away for 14 years to learn, did Yaakov go to Aver and not go to shame? So put aside the other answer. The other answer I told you was because there's a learning. That's the popular answer. I want to give you a different answer, a different approach. The chilik between shame and Aver. And the difference is shame is a Beis Medrash, it is a learning. The goal of the learning is to know. It's to know, to walk away with a yediyah. It's to know. Not even, but to have an answer to a question. Yaakov Avinu, he went to a different Beis Medrash in preparation of going to Lava. A Beis Medrash where the tafkid is, as the Rambam says, Tachlis Hayidiyah Sheneda Shaloy Neda. The Rambam says, what is the ultimate goal of knowledge? The Rambam, the peak of knowledge is to know that you don't know. That you really don't, that you don't know. That is the ultimate peak. But that's not a way to live. You can't go walk around, I don't know anything. You have to know. You have to come to a point. La suke shemaitza aliba dehilchasa. There is a goal in learning to reach a conclusion. We have a sugya. There's a machlokes between Abai and Rava. Machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Machlokes tanoim. Beshamai beshillel. You have to analyze. You have to go through the sugya. And you have to walk away at the end of the day. This is the bottom line. La suke shmaitza aliba dehilchasa. To know. How do you reconcile that with the Rambam that says that the ultimate goal of knowledge is tachlis hayidiyah sheneda sheloineda? Contradiction. The Rambam is coming to contradict Chazal that say that the goal, the ultimate learning is to get smicha, la suke shemaitza, to conclude your learning aliba according to hilchasa, the halacha, which means we now have clarity in everything there is to know to the point we can make a decision how to go forward. So the answer is elu va'elu divrei Elokim chayim. This is the difference between shame and aver. When you need to know something, you go to shame. Rivka had an issue. So where did she go? Rashi, she went to the Beis Medrash of shame. Why? Because she wanted to know. If you want to know, you go to someone who's going to tell you. She did not go to the Beis Medrash of Aver. Yaakov now is being told, you're going into Golis. And this is bittersweet parsha. This week's parsha, Mitzarecha, you have so many beautiful things. You have the birth of Klal Yisrael, the Shiftei Kah, and you have the sulam, you have all the beautiful things in this week's parasha. But it's a bittersweet parasha because it's the beginning of Golus. Ma'isa avosim labanim, Yaakov is on the run. Yaakov is a fugitive. Esav is seeking to attack, to murder. Yaakov has to watch his back. Yaakov has to live in Golos with the ultimate swindler of the world. Arami oyver avi, bikesh lavan la'kor es hakol, Golos. The mahus of Golos is sheloy neida. The whole mahus of Golos is the anoichi haster aster ponai bayoim ha'hu. That's what Golos is, whether you like it or not. When you're in Golos, you don't know anything. You have to be prepared to know that you don't know. That's a very deep idea. You have to learn to know that you don't know. If a person learns and he thinks, I know everything, you're in for a very rude awakening. Because the world doesn't follow the rules of what's supposed to be, of what you know to be correct. It doesn't follow the rules. The world is full of surprises. There are expectations, there are rules of science, there are rules of nature, there are rules of law, rules of just basic human dignity. And you wake up one day and guess what? That's not what it's supposed to be. That's not the way it's supposed to be. You have to learn to know. It's a science. It's a science of learning to know that you don't know. And knowing how to deal with not knowing. In a religious, people that are trained and they're trained, this is how it is. And then you're thrown a monkey wrench, you're put in a situation, you're in a lot of trouble. We're saying over here just words, but obviously there's a lot of depth to this. The Beis Medrash of Shame specialized in Tachlis is Lasuke Shmaitza Aliba Dehilchasa. In an ideal world, it is a completely different approach than the classic difference between the Beis Medrash of Shame and Aver. The classic approach of Beis Shame and Aver, if you want to be crude, I'll say it's like Lakewood and Yeshiva University. Even though that's totally false, because there's a lot of Yeshiva University in Lakewood, there's a lot of Lakewood and Yeshiva University. So it's a total crude, nasty thing to say, but because we don't have time and I don't have the vocabulary to refine the words, I'm just going to say it as it is. Okay, there's an approach of learning Torah Lishma, and there's a practical approach. You get smicha, you know the halacha, and you live your life with Torah. You live your life, you get a profession, and you in your profession, you take everything you've learned and you adapt and you sanctify. V'chul, everyone understands what I'm saying. Okay? That's the classic approach to explain the difference between the Beis Medrash of Shem the Aver, Torah Lishma, versus whatever label you want to put. Torah Derech Eretz, Torah Umada, Torah and this, Torah and that, whatever you want to say. Torah Vidas, right? Torah Vidas. That was the original intent. Okay? What? Torah Lasos. Torah Lasos, Torah Vidas, Torah Umada, Torah Derech Eretz, whatever you want to say. And on the other hand, there's a new approach. Another approach, which is from time immemorial, Torah Lishma. So if you want to be there, this is a very popular, Shame was Torah Lishma, and Aver was all those labels. Yaakov Avinu was living in Eretz Yisrael for 64 years. He was learning in Lakewood. Now the time is to go out into the world. Now you got to go and go be retrained, reprogrammed, prepared in the Beis Medrash of Aver. That is classic. Put that on the shelf. Let's now take a new approach. Forget about it. Or there's an approach in learning of the goal is Lasuke Shmaitza Aliba Dehilchasa, to come out at the end with the ultimate clarity, whatever you do in any area. And then there is an approach of learning. It's a very, very delicate type of way to balance this, is what the Rambam says. Tachlis ha'idea sheneida, sheloi neida. To reach that point where I see all the different approaches before me And now I appreciate that I really don't. What I thought that I know was simple, I now realize is not so simple at all. The goal is to confuse yourself. Not to be confused. It's in a sense even a higher level of learning. It's a higher level of tachlis haidi. It's not very practical. See the other way around, the classic approach is, Eiver is a very practical approach to life. Shein is an abstract approach to life that is ideal, but is thoroughly impractical and not sustainable. That's how the world. Torah Lishma approach, it's beautiful. It's something that Klal Yisrael needs, but it doesn't work al derech hateva. You need a rich shver. Okay? It doesn't work al derech hateva. It's not sustainable. Torah, derech eretz, is sustainable, is practical. Now I want to switch it 180 degrees. The Beis Medrash of Shem is practical. Because in the Beis Medrash of Shem, you reach a point, Atkan. La suge shmaitza aliba de hilchasa. The unsustainable approach to life is Eiver. Where you learn more and more and more and more and more until you reach the point where, you know something? What I thought was a given and is a clear set halacha, you know, it's not so simple. Life is complicated. Tachlis haidiya sheneida, sheloi neida. That gives you, each one has a maila and a chesaron. And they're mutually exclusive. The maila of lasuke shmaitz aliba de hilchasa is, I've reached a conclusion. I have a derech. I have a derech. What is the chesaron? You're fooling yourself. There's more greatness. There's more grandeur. There's more there. And you're lucky that you're in a sheltered environment, because if someone shakes you a little bit, you're in a lot of trouble. Everything that you've thought to be a given is going to be shaken up, and who says you're going to be able to deal with the turbulence? Eiver, tachlis haidiya sheneida sheloi neida. You're gold, you're set to go, you're solid. Nothing can shake you because you're prepared for anything possible, because you know that there are no rules. What's the chesaron? It lacks a certain satisfaction. You don't have clarity. Ein simcha kehataras haseis. These two mahalchim are mutually exclusive. In galus, you only have one approach. The approach of Eiver. Tachlis haidiya sheneida sheloi neida. Therefore, Yaakov Avinu, he spends 14 years learning in the Beis Medrash of Shem Ve'Eiver. He was very successful in confusing himself. Because after Vayishkav Bamokoim Hahu, he finally went to sleep now after 14 years in Eiver, he never slept. And now he goes to sleep. He wakes up, and what's the first thing he says? Lo Yodati. I didn't realize. What do you mean? He knew where he was. There's a lot of depth. Even something that you think you really know. I didn't realize to such a degree. And he was very comfortable in dealing with it. He was very comfortable. Taka lo yodati. And I can handle it. And this is success. Because he's now in Golos, he's entered into the world of Golos, Chutz La'aretz, Mais Avos Sim Labanim. I'm okay. I have been well trained in the Beis Medrash of Eiver, in knowing that I don't know. And that's just fine. And that's what I need, because in Golos there are no rules, no regulations. Everything's a surprise. What you think you know, you wake up one day, wow. I didn't really know what's going on. In Eretz Yisrael, there's more stability. Where I was with my father, there are guidelines. There, you go to the Beis Medrash of Shem. Rivka needed an answer, you go to Shem. Yaakov needed to prepare for the Golus of Anochi Haster Aster Ponai. You go to Eiver, the Anochi Lo Yodati. Okay, let's go to another idea. This week's parasha, we learned about Rachel being cursed. twice. Pretty shocking. Rachel was extremely frustrated. She didn't have children. Her sister had already four children. And the Shvach is also had children. She's the only one who doesn't have children. So she gives Yaakov an ultimatum. Tein libanim, havel libanim. Havali banim, give me children. Yaakov, v'im oyin, if you don't, meso anoichi, it's as if I'm dead. That's pretty sharp words to say to your husband. Give me children, if not, I'm dead. The next pasuk says, v'yichar Yaakov. Yaakov got very angry. Now, Yaakov is not one of us. Yaakov is a disciplined man. He spent 14 years without sleeping. Yaakov doesn't just get angry. Yaakov is not your average person that flares up. Yaakov is the man of Pirkei Avos. He gets angry. Yaakov gets angry. Yaakov doesn't know how to control his anger. Why is he so angry? So the Orach Chaim says something very interesting. And he says he wasn't angry. He wasn't angry that he was under attack. That Rachel is accusing him of not davening for her. Rashi elaborates. Let me read the pasuk. Give me one moment. It's always good to see the exact words. Let me go back a little bit over here.
It's not my control. It's Hashem's.
Here it is. Beginning of Perikul Lamed. So she was jealous. Rashi, beginning of Perek Lamed, writes, what does she say to the next one? He said, "Is that how your parents behaved? Okay, is that how the shver was much better than you, my husband? What kind of husband are you? Your father was a real man. When my mother-in-law was childless, your father prayed for her. What have you done for me? Okay, mikan v'chim when the words over here mikan the words over here avol pasuk aleph mesa." I'm dead. Okay, then Yaakov responds. Okay, he goes on and gives a whole prayer word about it. But the Orach Chaim says something very important. He says the anger of Yaakov Avinu was not because he was personally insulted. The anger was Rachel. Why did you curse yourself? Al tiftach peh l'satan. A person should never, ever dare say words that in Shemayim, whatever, we don't know how these things work, but a person should never give an opening in heaven. Oh, the person said he wants to die, so you know what? Let him die. Let him die. A person should never open up an opportunity in Shemayim that suffering should come upon a person. So Yaakov over here was on a personal attack. She really attacked him. She said to him, you're not a real man. Your father was a much better person than you. The apple has fallen far from the tree. So that's a personal attack. Yaakov is water off a duck. You want to curse me? You want to insult me? Go right ahead. I don't care. You can insult me all you want. Doesn't make a dent in me. Vayichar Yaakov b'Rachel. The way it appears that he's being didactic, the pasuk could have just said Vayichar af Yaakov. If Yaakov was personally attacked, someone attacks you. You're good for nothing. You did this avera, that avera. You're a rotten apple. Then the pasuk should say Vayichar af Yaakov. You pressed his buttons. It doesn't say that. It says Vayichar af Yaakov. Bit Rachel, which means concerning Rachel. I'm angry about you. You just curse yourself. If someone attacks you, a real good person, you can curse me all you want, I don't care. But when I see someone attack someone else, oh, you get angry. That's where you should get angry. Person is, he's sitting behind his desk and someone comes in public and mazaz him. You know, what else is new? You're sitting behind your desk and you see Reuven be mevaze Shimon, then you get angry. How dare you go be mevaze another person? That's dignity. That's where anger is proper. That's the proper place for there to be anger. Yaakov over here is listening to insults. Doesn't care, because of the day, curse me all you want. But then it's as if someone came along and attacked his wife. Who attacked his wife? An outsider. Who is the outsider? It happens to be she herself attacked herself. What did she say? She said, don't say that. Don't say those words. You want to die prematurely? Don't say that. That's not the way a Jew talks. A religious Jew doesn't talk like that. Don't make light of this, especially a holy person like you. You talk like that. A holy woman like you, we have to now fast. We have to now go to all these things now to reverse the damage. Now here's the irony. The irony of this is, later in the parasha, Yaakov runs away. In the middle of the night, he pulls off escape from Alcatraz. It's even more dramatic than any film out of Hollywood, how Yaakov Avinu is able to pull this off. Okay, he extracts himself with an entire family in the middle of the night without Lavan knowing. Because he knows that if he leaves with Lavan, it's going to be big, big problems. And then Lavan finds out, and Lavan gets on his jet, Concorde jet. He was able to travel in 7 days, which ordinarily takes 1 day, and he overtook Yaakov Avinu. And then they have a conversation. And after all the niceties, v'chul, he says, by the way, you're a ganef. You stole my trofim. You stole my smartphone.
Yeah.
I have a brand new smartphone. I paid good money for this. Where's my iPhone? Give it back. So he goes and he checks out all of the tents. And he comes into the tent of Rachel, Leah, back and forth. And at the end, he can't find it. So Yaakov now told Yisrael, and Yaakov says something very shocking. Whoever stole it should die.
The very thing that Yaakov got angry with.
That's exactly the point I want to make. Rashi on this pasuk says something very interesting. Rashi over here says, he made a statement, and he says, whoever stole your trofim, let me find the pasuk. Vayichar liYaakov vayir belovan vayyan Yaakov lemar lelovan ma pishi ma chatosi ki dolakta acharoi. Let me see. You checked everything. You didn't find anything over here. One moment.
31.
What pasuk, Tamari?
Lamed
Aleph. Lamed Aleph, she's unbelievable, she's on the mark. Okay, Vayan Yaakov Ayom al Lavan, Tamari, exactly correct. Excellent, scary. Vayan Yaakov Ayom al Lavan, Ki Yereski Amarti Pen Tigzoles Benosecha Meimi, Im Asher Timso Es Elohecha Lo Yichya. Whoever stole it will not live.
That's not the exact question.
That is a lashon.
Yeah,
what Yaakov Avinu said?
Whoever
im asher timsa es Elohecha, the one with whom you will find, the one with whom you will find the idol, lo yichya, shall not live. Rashi. What does Rashi on this pasuk say? Lo yichya. Ume oisa kilala meisa Rachel baderech. Wait a minute. Rachel should have died for another reason. She cursed herself. Rachel cursed herself. V'im ayin meisa anoichi. Oh, but she had children. We all know. Kilas chocham afilu al tanai can happen. Moshe Rabbeinu said, mocheni na misifrach asher kosofta. Did Hashem forgive Klal Yisrael? Yes. So why then is Moshe Rabbeinu's name not mentioned in Parashas Tetzaveh? Because the words of a tzaddik are so potent, even if it's conditional and the condition is not filled, it still has an effect. So Yaakov, that's the Rav Arachayim says, that's why Yaakov was feeling mad. Yaakov, not because you insulted me. I'm insulted because someone insulted my wife, who you yourself did it to yourself. You cursed yourself. You're going to die. Rachel died prematurely. She died on the road. She died very, very young. She was very, very young. She was 36 years old,
I think.
Why did
you say
no,
Isaac? What? Isaac maybe refers to that as previous.
No, so Rashi obviously knew something that we don't know. Rashi goes out of his way and say the reason why Rachel, I think she was 36 years old when she died. I went to a calculation. She was 36 years old. You know, she died. Why did she die? So if you wouldn't know, a Darshan will come along and say, because she cursed herself. That's why, as it says, that's why Yaakov was feeling it. I'll show you the Arachayim. Arachayim says, Vayicha af Yaakov bir Rachel. Not about me, because you cursed yourself. Now you're going to die. Oh, you gevald, what am I going to do now? You hurt yourself. So Rashi, so you would think. No, Rashi makes it clear. You know why she died young? Because Yaakov cursed her. But Yaakov was conditional. Yaakov, it wasn't a curse. Yaakov had no idea that she stole it. Yaakov was the man of Lo Yodati. Right? Yaakov wasn't a mekubal. Yaakov wasn't like one of these people, they put up the big signs, come, they'll read your palm, and they'll tell you everything you need to know, all will solve all your problems. Yaakov's entire mahus was Lo Yodati. Yaakov was a product of the Beis Medrash of Eder. He doesn't know anything. He doesn't know what's going on over here. He has no clue. The whole mahalach of Yaakov is Lo Yodati. I don't go look into people's tzuras upon him, into their palms, into their foreheads. I'm not into this stuff. I live a life of tanimus. The Yaakov Ish Tom. No looking into the stars to figure out the future. Product of the Beis Medrash of Eder. Tachlis Hediyah Shmida Shaloi Deida. I have no idea that my wife Rachel stole your trophy. According to the rules of the laws of Halacha, your curse is absolutely not chal. The curse was only based on an assumption that you, if you had known that Rachel stole your thing, would you have made this klala? Never in a million years. It was a false assumption. No court of law would hold you accountable for this curse. And yet it was chal. Why? Al tiftach pel lasati. The words of a holy person, even if it's conditional, even if it's for the wrong reasons, even if there's no sincerity, it happens. But what do you mean? But Yaakov was the first one. Is the first one? But Rachel did it. Did not because of Rachel. It's exactly the point. You can't burn the kingdom on both sides. If Yaakov Avinu, I'm trying to say a drush. If Yaakov Avinu would not have criticized, I don't know if I'm saying it's true or not. But I want to bring out a point which definitely is true. The point definitely is true in our lives. If it's true here. It has to be, there's a little teeny kernel. Are you allowed to say this? Probably not, but I just want to bring out the idea. Anyway, there are people out there in the world that don't do what they're supposed to do. They don't. They are ganavim, there are unethical acts of behavior, there are all crazy things that go on in the world. No, they get away with it. They get away with it. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? You're going to start screaming at them? It's not my world, mind your own business, whatever it is this. But then there are people that get up and say, listen, you know, it's not right. It's not right. What you're doing is not right. You can't do this type of behavior. And you take a stand. Wonderful. Bow to these people, take a stand on unethical behavior. But there's one condition. If you're going to get up and they take a stand on unethical behavior, you better be ethical yourself. You don't tolerate in this world hypocrisy. It's good for you. Do what I say, not as I do. There are people every single day that curse themselves, unfortunately. Ma'is and b'chol yom, people are frustrated. Life is not easy, and they curse themselves. That's the way we all know. We all do it to ourselves every so often. It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. Yaakov Avinu takes a stand, gets up, and he says, don't you dare do this. You're taking a stand. You are Yaakov. You are the Ish HaEmes. You are the Dugma of Emes. You're taking a stand. You're not tolerating even one iota of deviation from this principle by giving the harshest musar to your wife, Rachel. Rachel, you can curse me all you want. You can challenge me and tell me I'm a good for nothing. But don't you dare talk like this. Don't say v'im'ayin meis anochi. We will not tolerate that in Klal Yisrael and in my family of Al Tiftach Pel L'Satan. He could have given her some slack if he wanted to. She was a tormented woman, Rashi says. She was an enormous amount of pain. He could have given her some slack. He chose not to. Fine. Wonderful. Yaakov Ish Emes. But now that you're not giving her slack, you're going to be held to that same standard. And now, when you are frustrated because this evil man Lavan is coming to get you, coming to make your life miserable, and you're frustrated, don't curse yourself either. You don't know who took it here. You don't know who took it. You don't know who took the trouble over here. Now you are going to be held to your standards. I'm trying to suggest, whether it's wrong, if Yaakov would not have gotten angry at Rachel, if Rachel would have said him, Ayin Meisa Anochi, and would have said, okay, you know you're in a lot of pain. You're right. And he would not have flared up and get angry on her behalf. Then when he would make a slip and he would say, whoever stole your trophim should drop that. Then Hashem will say, Yaakov, you're frustrated. I can't blame you. 22 years working for this Meshuggah. And now he's coming to kill you. I understand. We'll give you some slack. But Yaakov didn't give Rachel any slack. He said, don't talk like that. Al tiftach pel l'satan. So then you're held to that same standard. Rashi says, it was because of this. That's Rashi. I'm saying what Rashi says. Why? Why such high standards? Why such high standards? It's because Yaakov demanded those standards from somebody else. The bottom line is, don't be a hypocrite. And everyone has a stickle of this inside of them. And it's a very frightening thing. Be careful what you say. Don't be, this is your site.
You want to say both spoke, this is from Pelasot.
What?
Both of them spoke.
Correct. So Rachel, so Yaakov, I'm saying is that Yaakov held Rachel accountable for being Tiftach Pelasot. If you're holding her accountable, then you have to hold yourself accountable to the same standards. And that's, Rashi says, because he made this statement, she died. That's a pretty extreme thing to die for. There's under no condition did Yaakov mean it. Under every single law and halacha, it was an honest mistake. Asmachta lekanya. For a lot less, you're forgiven. A lot less. Yaakov didn't forgive Rachel. You don't forgive Rachel, you hold her to be accountable for slipping on your language. Then you are held to that same standard.
He said a standard that he himself has to keep.
Right.
To the standard
exactly.
That he set for himself.
He was dealing with a troubled woman. Rashi says, she was a tormented woman. Tormented woman. And she was frustrated. And Yaakov held her to a higher standard. If you're going to hold her to a higher standard in that matzah of tsar, then when you're in tsar, you're going to be held to that same standard. Yaakov was being pursued by this evil man, Lavan, you're going to be healed by the Etzim. Let me conclude with one more quick vart. Yaakov Avinu, everyone knows the Rashi, he comes to go to sleep, he's reading the parasha, comes to the parasha, and it's homework. You have to figure out what this idea really means. But I want to bring out the point. Yaakov, when he comes after 14 years, he comes to the Beis Hamikdash, the Har Maria, he lies down. It says in the Pasuk, Vayikach me'avnei hamokon. He collects a collection of stones. The Medrash says there were 12 stones. And he puts them around his head, he goes to sleep, he wakes up in the morning, and guess what? The 12 stones turned into one stone. He was a magician. Okay? 12 stones, and the 12 stones turn into one stone. What is he? Was very impressed. What does he say? He makes a neder. This stone, right? Evan, there were 12 stones. Every one of the stones says, Olai, Yoniach, Tzadik Roishi. Every stone, I wanted Tzadik to rest upon me, and the stones turned into one big stone. Right? Everyone knows this from kindergarten. This go to the end of the parsha. Lavan is in hot pursuit. Lavan overtakes him. They have a conversation. It's a little nasty, the conversation. At the end of the conversation, they say, okay, let's make a bris. Let's make a treaty. Yaakov, he takes one stone. Very interesting pasukim. Vayikach. Let me go back to pasuk before. V'yato l'cha nichasav this aniyu v'yata. V'hoyol e'beinu v'necha. Let's make a covenant. Vayikach Yaakov oven. One stone. What does he do with it? Vayirimeha matseva. He makes a monument. Okay, very nice. One stone. Now finished now. Vayom Yaakov le'echov. Lick to avonim. Take a lot of stones. One stone is no good. I want a lot of stones. Vayikhu avonim. A lot of stones. Vayasu gold. They made a pile of, gold is a pile of a lot of stones. Vayoychu shom ala gold. And they ate. Vayikhu lo lovon. Yigar sohadusa v'yakov korlo gal aid, a gal that is an aid. This is going to be the sign. This stone is going to be the sign as he goes on. V'yom alovan hagal hazeid beniu veinech hayon alkein korish magal aid. And he goes on. This is going to be the covenant. I go a little bit further. Ere gal zeid amaziva im oni loy evor elech es hagal hazeh v'im atah. Vim ata, it's Mila'el. Vim ata lo savor elai esagal hazeh v'esamasir hazos lira'o. Peace between me and you. This stone, it's almost like v'ho even hazos yihye beis elokim. Verse, hagal hazeh is going to be the sign of peace. By the Beis HaMikdash, you went from one stone, from 12 stones, to one stone. Lavan, Yaakov starts off with one stone, not enough. No, one puts down one, by Yireh HaMatzeva, no good. We need a lot of stones. And this pile of many stones is going to be the symbol that separation, I'm not going to harm you, you're not going to harm me. Why is it, by the Beis HaMikdash, you go from many to one, and with Lavan, you go from one to many? Okay, so there are many things, many different ideas that you can say. Klal Yisrael, sometimes you only appreciate something. You only appreciate something through contrast. The Beis HaMikdash is built upon Klal Yisrael coming together. There were 12 stones. Each stone represents one of the Shvatim. Yaakov Avinu said, this stone that miraculously yearned to merge, to come together, this is the lifeblood of clouds. Only such a type of frame of mind and attitude can be the foundation for a Beis HaMikdash. It's only when there is a desire to come together, and Hashem accepts that desire, and Hashem brings you all together, that's the only place you can have such a thing as the Beis Elokim. When you're dealing with our enemies, you're dealing with Lavan, Arami Oyved Ovi, Bikesh Lavan Laakor Esakol. You have to appreciate that the separation between us and them is just the opposite. The separation between us and them is to break them down. I really, I'm gonna have to leave this to you to really put. I didn't really finish off this var to a degree that I'm satisfied at this moment now. And I leave it to you to think about, okay?
Maybe it shows that we have treaties with this nation, and to remind us that nothing is...
There are many different ways you can look at this. Yaakov Avinu over here is coming to remind us, Klal Yisrael, don't go there. The Gal is a double purpose. It's number one, they shouldn't dare charm us, but the Gal is also for Klal Yisrael. We should know not to go over to the other side.
It's a bound here.
When we do not go over to the other side, it doesn't have to be with Achdus. When you're coming to build the base on the stone, to be the base on, the only way you're going to be able to go, the only way you're going to be able to build the base on Migdash and come close to Hashem, is together. We need each other to move. But you don't need someone else not to do an Aveira. If Chas V'Shalom, there are people who have gone to the other side, they've gone to the dark side, it doesn't mean you also have to go. It doesn't mean. If someone else, because people will say, I saw this in that book with the Lubavitcher, the conversations. The Lubavitcher was very upset at a certain woman who felt that the law of return in Eretz Yisrael should include, that you should include into all the halachas reform and conservative Judaism. Jews that, according to Orthodox halacha, are not considered Jews. They should be equal in certain matters in Eretz Yisrael. The status quo right now is no, it's only Orthodox. Let's bring in Reform, conservative, who marry, do things that are shaloi kahalach. And that way we'll have unity. And through the unity, through numbers, we'll have more power. So it's an argument. Let's take all the little stones. There is the Orthodox stone, and there is the Reform stone, and the Conservative stone, and the Egalitarian stone, and the Open Orthodox stone, and there's this stone and that stone. And all of the stones should come together as one big stone, so we have power. Excuse me, the Reform have gone to the other side. They've gone to Lavan. They marry non-Jews. They have children that are halachically not Jewish. There's no Gittin v'Kiddusha. There's garnish, no mikvah, nothing. All right, so what? We need unity. Unity comes in numbers. No. Yaakov Avinu, when he warned Klal Yisrael not to go over, to pass over to the other side, we have one stone, and we're going to splinter this one stone into many stones. Just because Chas V'Shalom, one stone, has decided to go over to the other side, that doesn't mean you should also go over to the other side. In the name of unity, in the name of strength. When it comes to be positive, to go up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the 12 stones came together to become one stone. The Even Hazostia base, we need them. We need Achenu B'nei Yisrael, B'chol Mokom Shem, to come back, to join us in order to go higher to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if somebody has gone off to the other side, it doesn't mean everyone should go and follow in their ways because there's an argument that it's good for the greater good. Then there are many, many stones. If one stone goes to the other side, okay. Hopefully that stone will come back very, very soon. But it doesn't mean that there should be an achdus in going over to the other side. There are two very different monuments of stones in this week's parasha. There is the beginning of the parasha where the stone is to be the base Elohim, to go up. The second monument of stones is there as a protection not to leave, not to go away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Going up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we need everyone to go closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Going away to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just because Rachmana Lislan, some people have gone away, doesn't mean everyone should go away. Everyone should hold out. One little stone that holds out, doesn't go away, that stone will be the stone which will be used to rebuild all the other stones. Okay, something along those lines. Have a wonderful Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.